Now there's a lot that one can say about Kshanti, as one can in fact about all the Paramitas, but I propose to discuss this evening just the three principal aspects of Kshanti. First of all, Kshanti as forbearance. Secondly, Kshanti as tolerance. And thirdly, Kshanti as spiritual receptivity. And I'm going to depart from my usual custom, and I'm going to introduce each aspect with a story. The story is not going to come along in the middle or at the end, it's going to come right at the beginning. And this will serve to remind us that Kshanti is not something to be theorized about or speculated about, but essentially something to be practiced in our everyday life, as in fact we shall see with the help of a verse from the Dhammapada a little later on. Now, first of all, Kshanti as forbearance. Now, Kshanti in this sense, Kshanti as forbearance, is illustrated by a story from the life of the Buddha himself. And this story is found in the Sutra of 42 sections. This, incidentally, was the first Buddhist text ever to be translated into the Chinese language. Now, we haven't got the Sanskrit or perhaps the Pali original of it. We've only got this Chinese translation, but historically it is of considerable importance. So one of the earlier sections relates this particular story about the Buddha. Apparently the Buddha was going about as usual. He was either preaching or he was going for alms or something of that sort, but he happened to encounter somebody, probably a Brahmin, we don't know, who for some reason or other wasn't very happy with the Buddha, wasn't very pleased with him. So he straight away started to abuse the Buddha, called him all sorts of names. So we often find this in the Pali scriptures. The Buddha, by the way, wasn't universally popular in his own day. Quite a lot of people didn't like the Buddha and didn't like what he was doing, enticing people away from their wives and families and putting on the spiritual path and making them think that nirvana instead of thinking about making money. With some people he wasn't at all popular. So he encountered, it seems, one of these characters, and he just started abusing the Buddha with all the bad words in his vocabulary. So the Buddha didn't say anything. Didn't say anything at all. He just waited for the man to stop. So after 5 minutes of uninterrupted abuse, he just stopped. He got out of breath, apparently. So the Buddha very quietly asked him, he said, is that all? So the man was a bit taken aback, and he said, yes, that's all. So then the Buddha said, all right, let me now ask you a question. He said, suppose you have a friend, and suppose that friend brings along for you one day a present. But suppose you don't want to accept that present. If you don't accept it, to whom does that gift belong? So he said, well, if I want to accept it, it belongs to the person who wants you to give it to me. So the Buddha said, look here, you have tried to make me a present of this abuse. I decline to accept your present. He said, take it, it belongs to you. So this is the story told about the Buddha. So this is how the Buddha behaved. But I think we'll probably agree upon a little reflection that this is not how we usually behave. This isn't the way in which we are likely to behave. What we usually do if we are abused in this way is that we either make a similar retort or we retaliate in some other way. At best we keep it burning within our mind and we perhaps take revenge later on. So this is the way in which we behave. And we find that the great teacher, Shantideva, gives some very useful hints on how we are to practice Kshanti in this sense, in the sense of forbearance, and emulate the Buddha's example. He gives us some hints, in other words, on how to check the arising of anger. Shantideva says, supposing someone comes along and beats you with a stick. Well, he said, that's a very painful experience. But you shouldn't just straight away fly into a rage. He says you should reflect. And you should try to understand what has actually happened. So if you just analyze it, when you're beaten with a stick, all that has happened is that two things have come together. One of them is the stick and the other is your body. They just come together. And the painful experience arises in dependence on the coming together of these two factors, stick and body. Now, Shantideva says, who is responsible for this coming together, for this painful experience? The other person, the enemy, admittedly, he has taken the stick to you. He's partly responsible, but Shantideva says, you've taken the body. He provides the stick, but you provide the body. And where does that body come from? It comes from your previous sanskaras. It comes from your ignorance and activities based upon ignorance of previous lives. He's put the stick there, true, but you've put the body there. So you are equally responsible with him. So why should you get angry with him for his stick and not with yourself for your body being there? So in this way, Shantideva has a number of reflections which we can read in the Bodhicharya Avatara which help us to practice forbearance in situations of this sort. Now, it isn't just a question of practicing forbearance towards harsh words or people with sticks. It's a much bigger, a much wider question than that. And sometimes the objects towards which forbearance is to be practiced are classified in Buddhist literature into three groups. First of all, nature, the material universe that surrounds us, especially in the form of the weather. Now, we have to practice forbearance towards the weather. Either it's too hot, or it's too cold, or there's too much wind, or too much rain, or not enough sunshine. And I need hardly remind you that this sort of forbearance is especially necessary to us, whether Buddhist or non-Buddhist, in this country. And also, we need to practice forbearance towards what are known in law as acts of God. Natural calamities and natural disasters beyond human control, like fire and flood and earthquake and lightning. So this is the first kind of object towards which forbearance is to be practiced. Nature, in general. And then secondly, our own body. Especially when the body is sick or suffering, in any other kind of way. We shouldn't get angry with the body. We shouldn't start beating Brother S. It isn't his fault. After all, we brought the body here. It's our own responsibility. We should just practice forbearance towards the body and his aches and pains and so on. Some people, of course, find this a little difficult. They just get a little headache sometimes, and you might think from the fuss they make that they were undergoing a major operation without anaesthetic. And they express need for sympathy and so on. Now, the fact that we should practice forbearance towards the body, towards physical suffering, doesn't mean that we should not try to alleviate suffering, whether it's our own suffering or whether it's the suffering of other people. But we should realize at least that there's always a residue which cannot be relieved, and this we simply have to bear with patience. And even if there is no sickness, even if there's no disease, in any case, sooner or later, come along old age and eventually death. In the West, we know many people rebel against this sort of thought that old age must come creeping upon us. And they refuse to grow old gracefully, as people tend to do in the East. And this is sometimes quite tragic. In the East, one may say, especially in the Buddhist countries, people very often look forward to old age. They think as if, well, or even they say, well, how wonderful, in 10 years' time I'll be 60. And they really look forward to it. And they tend to think, in many parts of the East, that old age is the happiest time of life. Happiest time of life because in old age, all the passions of youth have subsided, all the emotional turbulence and so on. One has gained experience, and with experience perhaps just a little wisdom. And then one has fewer and fewer responsibilities. One hands over everything to the younger generation. And one doesn't have much to do. and you've got plenty of time for reflection, even for meditation. So people do very much look forward in the East to their old age. But even in the East, one must confess, it isn't always, in fact very often it isn't easy for people to accept the fact of death. Whether in East or West, this is usually, for most people, a very sobering consideration. But there's no alternative. Whether we like it or whether we don't like it, one day death will come. And therefore one is advised to practice forbearance towards the dissolution or the idea of the dissolution one day of the physical body. And then thirdly and lastly, one is advised to practice forbearance towards other people. And this is said to be the most difficult of all. Much more difficult to be forbearing towards other people than towards the weather, or even towards one's own body and one's own physical aches and pains. Other people can be very, very difficult indeed. And this is why perhaps someone once said that hell is other people. Of course, heaven is other people too, but that's another story. There's no time for details. I'm sure we can supply, all of us, the details from our own experience.